from being undersheriff for 14 years and lost a mustache. We're good to have you, though.
Well, thank you for those observations and the kind welcome.
Just to let you know, you all probably know how Dave Brettle looks because he is a columnist in virtually every paper except, I think, the Supermarket Shopper in Walworth County, and writes very interesting columns about how he makes the decisions he does and how you as a voter and citizen do. Sheriff Picknell is one of those guys who you would look at him and say, well, gee, they sure are making sheriffs, they're sure making sergeants young these days, like many of the healthy people of Walworth County who are active. He looks nothing like what is it, 28 years now of service in law enforcement, Sheriff?
28 proud years.
Yeah. But with the mustache, perhaps the Marlboro man, without typical Hollywood leading man in uniform, and a tall drink of water, too. What are you, sir? 6'4"?
6'4".
6'4".
Spot on.
6'4" and packing. I noticed that you have your full Sam Brown belt with the utility, the bat spray or whatever, and probably your sidearm as well. Most of us whose experience with law enforcement is watching a lot of TV, as sheriffs seem to either come in very nice three-piece suits or they're loaded to the gills with stars and bars, and you seem to be the type that is still a working, active police officer. Dave, are you have any thoughts or memories on that?
I can sure attest to that because I insisted on taking a separate car today. Kurt routinely makes traffic stops if we go out to lunch or to meetings, and we tease him about that. But I think there's there's more to it. That's how Kurt looks at the job, and he's on duty 24 hours, and I've been his backup on some of those stops, and he's still proceeded with them. I don't know that I would have if I was him, but we've got a registration violator, speeders in the past, so Kurt is...
And also on balance, let's put in some motorist assist, just helping people out that are in distress. Not everybody receives law enforcement action as it relates to like a warning or a citation.
Kurt, in your line of work, being uninvolved is not part of the bargain. When you wake up in the morning, you're a police officer, aren't you?
Yeah, you live it.
And you're the person who goes toward the trouble rather than away from it.
Yes.
That said, in the past year of what we've seen, the past year, the past month, the past week, as we tape this in the past few minutes, there is always something going on with law enforcement that sometimes the police are made to look bad, sometimes the police are heroes, sometimes the police are under fire, sometimes the police are walking into Lord knows what. How the heck do you even get out of that car when you pull somebody over? Anybody else would want to go straight back to bed or duck under the dash and say, I'm calling for backup. How do you do that every day, every minute?
Well, I appreciate that compliment, and I would extend that to all law enforcement and extend it out to all public safety. Police, fire, rescue, obviously within our operation, the Emergency 911 Dispatch Center as well. We can touch on that further.
We sure will.
But I really think that for you to do these professions correct, it needs to be at the heart a calling of what you want to do and what you're desiring to do. And from there, it becomes very straightforward in how you approach the job.
Dave Brettle, a county administrator for Walworth County, how do you approach the relationship with the sheriff? I mean, we love the idea of seeing you together at a podium when you're announcing award winners or a new policing program. But usually, as we've seen nationally, when a county official is appearing with a sworn head of a department, it's usually because something really bad has happened. How involved are you in what Kurt does? Where do you two interface?
I think we've got, a very good relationship, and as you pointed out, that's not necessarily the case in the state of Wisconsin or nationwide. And it was interesting. Kurt was part of a symposium along with our county board chair on the relationship between the county board and the sheriff's office. And we've really been fortunate to have, I think, a good relationship. Dave Graves, before Kurt was sheriff, I think carried that forward as well. But in my mind, the idea is to respect the roles of each organization, and that's usually where it breaks down in my estimation. The county board has the power of the purse strings and responsibility to levy taxes and to fund things, but the sheriff is a countywide elected official, and so he's responsible for carrying out law enforcement activities in the county. And that's where, in my estimation, it usually breaks down, because you've got county board members wanting to police or set up a particular operation. And that is something that I think, the old adage, good fences build good neighbors, is to understand the roles and responsibilities of each office and respect those. Second big thing, I think, is just ego and having egos in check. And I think we see, and I think your listeners have probably heard already, and those who know Kurt realize that he's about the job and not his own ego. And I think our mm-hmm. board is like that as well. And when you can check those egos at the door, you can really accomplish a lot of good things.
Kurt, if one were to say, well, what's the sheriff's background? If I Google you, I don't necessarily find your biography first. What I find is a picture of you with the new undersheriff, the former Captain Williams. And you talk about your philosophy. You started as a law enforcement officer in 1987 with Delavan, right?
Correct, the town of Delavan.
And about that time was when I was leaving 6 years of being a television reporter and getting into the private sector, working first of all with Motorola as a client, which made a police radio or two over the years. And Motorola was all about, in the late 80s, the Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Award, which was for every organization, from law enforcement to manufacturing to healthcare, has become a standard of continuous improvement. Continuous improvement, I think the Japanese word is Kaizen, and Malcolm Baldrige learned and taught the Japanese that art. And you say something along those lines in your mission statement. I don't want to put the words in your mouth, but what are the words in your mouth, Kurt, as far as what you want to do with that department every day?
Continual self-improvement and continual agency improvement as a result of that with all of the dedicated employees at the sheriff's office.
How do you do that? How do you put that in place when you've been doing the same job for 14 years? And you've been at the profession for going on 30. How do you bring that freshness, that change, let's bring it up a notch today, this year, this month?
One of the things, just at a core, I think, is to identify a wellness component, no matter what you do in life, and really striking a balance, both physically, mentally, to be able to recover back from the chores of whatever chosen profession you have. And that's one of the things that I think is a common denominator for Dave Brettel and I. We both have physical outlets that I think that recharge our batteries a little bit. And although they're different, we talk about them from time to time.
Well, what are they? You don't spar each other in the gym or anything, do you?
Good Lord, no. I wouldn't be here today, probably, no. If that was the case.
I think he'd take you in three, probably.
3 seconds.
3 seconds, not rounds, yeah.
I'm a runner, and Kurt is a biker. He hasn't seen the light yet to start marathoning, but he's out there a lot riding around.
Which explains your youthful appearance. Most people think I'm about 15 years younger, but I think it's because I never go outside. I just stay on the couch. But that keeps you fit. What keeps you out on the road? Walworth County, as I explain to people often, is really two different municipalities, two different geographic areas. In the one sense, during the spring and summer and early fall, it is a huge tourist attraction. The population probably doubles.
Or more.
Hmm?
Or more.
Or more. And then it's nothing to sneeze at as far as responsibility goes during the, quote, off season, because you have this huge agricultural area in addition to Lake Geneva and Delavan and the county seat, Elkhorn. How do you adapt in law enforcement to that kind of dual nature, Kurt, in covering your beat, for lack of a better term?
You know, it's great that you point that out, because there are a few things when you look at the policing of law enforcement in Walworth County and in southeastern Wisconsin. As you pointed out, you know, you police the area, and the demands are different calendar-wise. And if you go back a few decades, it was more pronounced when you got out of the summertime and went into the winter. The activities would drop off more substantially than now, but not as much as it used to be. And you had to live it to see that, to understand it. But there still is a drop in activities. So those demands you have to switch for, if you will. We're going into a driving season now where, you know, there's vehicles that slide off the road, traffic crashes, and other things that are more traffic-related that are seasonally driven. And also in the summer, the amount of traffic, the density of the traffic is higher. So although they're unique in their own way, they draw different demands. But we also touched on another part of the law enforcement within the county that's unique. We have really beautiful areas in the county. And I grew up in Delavan, and I just identify with the area as being a hometown boy to Walworth County. Mm-hmm. Having said that, there's light industry, there's agriculture, beautiful lakes, golf courses, state forests. And as you drive the different areas of the county, for instance, if you didn't realize you were in the Kettle Moraine area and mm-hmm. didn't realize you were driving there, and you were blindfolded and they were taken off, you could easily mistake that for northern Wisconsin. And driving back out of that, you're now down into the agricultural area, recreational area,
mm-hmm.
and light industry, and a heavily tourist area with all the resorts. So it's got some beautiful attributes to it, and it's situated uniquely, how I would frame it as, it's in a box with four metro areas around it.
Mm-hmm.
Madison, Milwaukee, Chicago, and then Rockford, Beloit. And the county is in its infancy of urbanizing. So that's also a unique feature for law enforcement and how we move towards our strategies in the future with law enforcement and the demands that are put on us.
If
and you're shaking your head that you instantly recognize the characteristics of the county that way as I describe them.
Shaking in agreement?
Shaking in agreement.
Yes. I am. I'm actually shaking in appreciation, because a lot of what I do with WGTD and in smaller part with the Beacon as their correspondent is tell people about Walworth County who aren't aware of it and what a jewel it is, and the fact that it's only, depending on whether Deputy Adams is after me on his motorcycle or not on State Road 50.
He's referring to our motorcycle unit.
Yes. Yes, our version of Chips, who I met him the other day. We'll talk about that. The end of this show, as Chief Brad Buchholz of Sharon can attest, is always the Jim's Leadfoot testimonial. And if you become an annual guest, Sheriff Kurt, we'll check my points at the end of each radio show. But the nature of Walworth County, I loved your blindfold analogy, because I look around sometimes and I squint and I think I'm in Puget Sound, or I'm on the Virginia coast off the Chesapeake Bay, or definitely it reminds me of my time in Anchorage. It has everything, but with that, within your roles come an incredible responsibility for how to deal with all those different types of areas. If Governor Walker was to wake up tomorrow and either decide or have on his desk $1 million in federal funds, County Administrator Dave Brettle, where would you spend it in Walworth County for public safety? And if you heard tell of it, Sheriff Kurt Picknell, what would you want to do with that extra million you had to play with?
For public safety.
So yes.
I have a bias, I guess, just because I've seen the success of some of the programs in recent years, but it might be a little bit counterintuitive to listeners. But I would look at spending it in prevention-type programs. And mm-hmm. We've got a few good ones, I think, because we've $1 million sounds like a lot of money, but if you're building and staffing a jail addition, it really is a drop in the bucket. And
right.
So keeping people out of the system would be a priority for me, I think, and I would, and we have tried to increase funding for programs that do that.
And that's not contrary to my opinion either. Mm-hmm. We've cooperatively worked on a lot of these together over the years, even in my role as undersheriff. You know, one of the things that you find when you talk about, and I'll go back to a point that we made earlier about, you know, the wellness component to your life. Whether it's a good habit or a bad habit, habits tend to fall into routines. And a lot of the treatment courts, they reset the button for a lot of these people, and they help them identify coping mechanisms that they have to try and turn around some of these bad habits into good habits while they're in the treatment program so they can turn into long-term routines for them.
So really, I don't want to give a blanket statement, but you've got a second chance in Walworth County. The idea is to return people back to the street better than when they came in if they end up, as your guest, guest in the jail. And Dave, I think you made the point in your budget that you want to make sure that you can prevent some things from happening or turn people on the right path.
Correct. And I know you prefaced your statement there, but I'm not sure. You know, you don't get a free pass in Walworth County, but
no.
I think the idea is that we need to do something to break these habits, like the sheriff had indicated, in the cycle of recidivism. And so you can pick up, I make a point every week, there's a story in there of 5th, 6th, 10th, maybe 12th time drunk driver. And you
yes.
see that. And that,
yes.
you know, that gets the public ire and interest. But you have to look at what Einstein said, the definition of insanity was doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Right.
And not everybody is going to respond to a treatment court. It is, I think, in many respects tougher than going the strict incarceration route. You've got, you know, individuals are at a certain point released in the home environment with electronic monitoring. They have to go to drug testing. They have all the temptations around them that were there when they got into trouble the first time. But they have counseling, and they have some mechanisms to try to cope with the addictions or the issues that they have. And I have been amazed to see it's a system-wide approach from law enforcement to human service counseling to the judges, prosecutors, defense attorneys, and people who it is a moving experience to watch the graduation of one of those courts. And while some people undoubtedly can get through the system and tell folks what they want to hear, others are genuinely changed by going through that. And those are the folks that I don't think we're going to see again in the system, maybe ever.
Sheriff Picknell, for all the stories you see where you shake your head and say, oh, boy, there's Clem again, or I'm sorry to see Julie one more time, do you have in the course of your day or your week or your month times where you see people turn it around from where they were going and you're glad to have been a part of the process?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the, you know, one of those drops of fuel that keeps you going in the profession is that there are people that generally want to change. Now, we're not blind to the idea that some people do need to be incarcerated, and some of them that we have in jail mm-hmm. actually face an exposure of lifetime in prison. Those definitely need to be there, and the facility is built for them. But for people that desire that change and meet the criteria and work hard in these programs, it becomes a very powerful, transformative time for them. And you're humbly sitting there watching them try very hard and realize some successes in their life that they might not have realized prior to in their life. And it's great to see.
You're listening to Community Matters here on WGTD, your gateway to public radio in southeastern Wisconsin. I'm speaking here at our home studio in Kenosha, where you hear us on 91.1 FM in Kenosha, Racine, and also hear us on 103.3 FM in Lake Geneva and 101.7 in Elkhorn, the other campus of Gateway Technical College. And with me are two gentlemen of Elkhorn, two gentlemen of the county seat of Walworth County, Sheriff Kurt Picknell and County Administrator Dave Bridle and Bredel, right, Dave?
Correct.
Yes, I'll get it right. I've only known you a year and a half now. Topic, obviously, public safety, but it would be even if we were talking about a narrow area like, only law enforcement or corrections or any other aspect. But in the past year, as I mentioned at the top of the show when we started at 11:15, oh, my gosh, what a year. And I have to ask you, Sheriff Picknell, how much of it is there but for the grace of God go I? I guess I should say it's not necessarily a matter of time before it happens in Walworth County, but even as we're taping this show, we're hearing of an incident out in San Bernardino where apparently there are 20 casualties or fatalities involved, and that will become known as San Bernardino, just as the incident several years back at a movie theater in Colorado is known as Aurora. We talk about Charleston and the shooting up of a African-American Bible study, and I can go any way you want to, including areas where people have died in police custody. Police have had to take up arms. There are issues out there where police are being looked at with a critical eye. There are news events we know of in the past year where police roared to the rescue. Either way you look at it, when you meet the public, it's not always with a smile on their face as they see you. How do you face what might happen tomorrow? How do you prepare knowing that today's headline in Colorado or South Carolina could be a headline not only in Wisconsin but in Elkhorn or Walworth County in the future?
Well, it's really unique to what you just said. One of the cornerstones is to prepare and continuous preparation for that. And also, one step before that equation is, leaving avenues of information exchange for law enforcement for prevention. And sometimes when you walk back on these incidences, there is something that's off or unique where somebody can call and talk or leave a text or leave an email to us, through Crime Stoppers, through other anonymous sources to give us information. And I think one of the great subscripts to this story is how many of these have actually quietly been diverted.
Mm-hmm. I always find that interesting when dealing with stories about anti-terrorism. I forget, but usually if one stays up late enough at night, you'll see the FBI director or assistant director, and the number he gives, and it's a concrete number, of incidents averted is always up in the 800-900 level. There's prevention. But things like an incident where a woman from Naperville, Illinois, who is African American, ends up dying as a result of interactions that she happened to have with the police, or someone dies in the back seat of a car under custody in Milwaukee or some other metropolitan. People are saying, there's all this racial tension. Ferguson comes up, Ferguson, Missouri. The Baltimore in the past year and a half has had instances where racial things, and you tend to immediately say, well, that'll never happen. And Walworth County, you look at the wiki figures, and there's not a great diversity there. But on the other hand, all it takes is one bad interaction with one person, whether they be any ethnicity or gender, and your whole area could become typified. I myself, in one of my 45 part-time jobs that I work, was doing security at one of our tourist hotels one night. During the Martin Luther King celebration that was going on and part of Black History Month, and it just so happened that Lake Geneva Hotel for that month, for that weekend, was almost exclusively African American, and hotels always have incidents, whether it's a guy not leaving the bar or somebody dropping his Line and Kugel beer into the pool or whatever. So all of a sudden, I'm walking down the hall to answer the hotel incident du jour, and I felt like I was in one of those Clint Eastwood westerns. It was me, a Walworth County sheriff, a Lake Geneva police officer, a hotel security guy on loan. We looked like a law enforcement uniform convention, Sheriff Kurt. We were five of us walking down the hall, and I thought, boy, if ever an incident was going to happen, this will be it. But we handled it quietly and comfortably. All of which is a long way of saying, if you'll both wake up from my war story, as boring as it is, you never know when you meet an individual whether it's going to be a pleasant interaction or not. How much can you, as the officer walking up to the car, walking up to the hotel room, walking up with another officer, usually for a domestic situation, how much can you control whether it has a happy outcome or a national headline?
Yeah. And the quick answer to that is you can control it to the degree that you can verbally and physically control it. But certainly the goal of any interaction that we have with a citizen is to have a positive outcome. You know, there's a saying that that I've said many times. Somebody might not like what we've done, but we strive for them to understand why we did it. And if they still don't like what we did, there are remedies for conversation even beyond that with a supervisor, you know, or an administrator. Just to get the understanding. Case in point, you might not appreciate getting a speeding ticket, but at the end of the day, we want you to understand that we actually properly did our job and why we did it.
Right, and we're approximately 14 minutes away from Leadfoot Jim's confessional, so we'll be looking forward to that.
That would be a call to Sheriff Beth initially.
Jim, back to your first point that you had made about some of the incidents, shooting, mass shooting incidents, and things
yes.
of that nature, you know, it kind of ties in with some of the conversation we were having earlier with the county being a you know, wonderful place and still in many respects a rural place, but there's a little bit of a denial. Nobody wants to think of things like that happening, but that becomes a little bit of a challenge in terms of some of the funding issues. For example, and the sheriff has the particulars here, but several years ago we had purchased a new an armored car for the department.
I was going to bring that up because people always like to say, well, geez, do we really need all of Don Rumsfeld's leftover mine vehicles?
And people did bring that up to me, trust me.
Really?
Because it was
yeah.
not inexpensive. I think
yeah.
it was over $300,000.
Just a little over $250,000.
$250,000. It wasn't, by the way, used our surplus. That,
oh, okay.
That's a whole other area. It was
right.
custom, you know, it made for law enforcement. But, you know, the issue is, well, why do we need something like that in sleepy Walworth County?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to your point, the next traffic stop or the next visit to a home can unfortunately turn into something that requires that. And you know, I made the statement at the time, I think our last vehicle that we had the windshield shot out of it, and from bullets in a situation.
In two separate calls.
Wow.
Right, and you know, I had said, you know, if you get the call at 2 a.m, and I do only in the sense of the sheriff, you know, keeping me apprised of what's going on. I don't
oh.
do anything with the scene, but mm-hmm. you'd say, you know, at that point, you'd write out the check. Then I had said that to the taxpayer. If our
yeah.
folks were there in a hostage situation. And they needed cover and the ability to get to rescue people, you'd write out the check then. They didn't agree with me, but I still stand by that statement. You know, you're talking about people's lives and our deputies and the people who are there trying to protect. You have to be realistic, and while you don't want to turn it into an armed camp, and there were reasons, and maybe the sheriff can get into that we didn't use a military surplus vehicle, you need to be prepared. By the same people in the public would find it inexcusable that you let a situation, it would be inexcusable to let a situation get too far because you don't have the proper equipment or training to contain it.
You know, thinking of mass incidents, there have been several opportunities in the past year that I've had to eyewitness the Sheriff's Department in action. There was, for about a week there, it seemed like it was every other day a high school had a bomb threat. And before you know it, your teams were all over the place, along with cooperation from other other units, which is always
good. And that's key, train together and respond together.
Yeah. And I'm just amazed at, from times both as a reporter and from little incidents I've had where I would go on ride-alongs or I happened to be training with 911 operators at one point to learn what that profession was like. And it's really amazing how much, without giving away operational security or resources or how you approach the situation, it's amazing how much you can bring to bear on a problem or an issue, especially when you cooperate with the other agencies around you. And you've got a lot adjoining several other counties and all the townships and cities, Kurt.
It is, and that's one of the things that we always are mindful of is making sure that we have great relationships both in county and out of county, because as resources are needed, you need to have those relationships built way before they're ever needed. And one of the things also is, you know, in public safety in general, you know, it's what you do every day, but equally important what you're prepared to do. So you're always walking those two dual tracks every day.
Mm-hmm. I was a resident of Richmond for 6 years before I moved to Lake Geneva and then Williams Bay, and I always found it entertaining and interesting. The two or three times a year where along the border there, especially on US 12, you would see Walworth County Sheriff lined up alongside with Richmond, Bloomfield, McHenry County, Illinois State Police Officer, Wisconsin State Police. It was like a who's who in law enforcement doing that check over the Labor Day holiday or a New Year's Eve or whatever. Wisconsin, if it has an Achilles heel, in one sense has to be drinking. We enjoy our beverages made from malts and hops, the beer that made Milwaukee famous. It gives sheriffs headaches, and I imagine county administrators trying to figure out where to put resources.
Enough said. It's really a tragedy. And the
from your perspective, what do you see as far as it's not all about, you know, toasting the Packers and having a good time?
No, it's not. And, you know, we can touch on a few things that we chatted about earlier. But at the same time, it's one of these topics where you start with, as you pointed out, it's really culturally ingrained here. But I also think as we're trending forward, the awareness of that and moving from that, we're in that journey. But from the prevention side of things to the enforcement side to the sentencing to the treatments, I think these are great great strategies for addressing this. I can't tell you how many times in my career, and you can anticipate it, that I've gone to a traffic crash. It's not an accident. It's a crash. And somebody has injured or killed somebody else.
And it's the worst.
And they're drunk.
And it's the worst thing as a parent and a father, I think you are, to see a child that may have been involved. Or...
And if you're not the one that's processing the scene or processing the driver that will be charged, you are the one of them potentially making notification to the family that's affected and attending an autopsy, doing your reports.
Mm-hmm.
So no good comes out of this whatsoever. But I think the awareness and really for society to kind of start coming to grips with this and how it leverages such a huge cost, both financially and emotionally and in lifestyle for people's lives, that people are forever lost.
Mm-hmm.
And the tragedy and the trail that's left behind.
Let's talk about heroin.
And that can so simply be diverted by making simple choices.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about heroin and drugs, Dave Brettel. That's something you have to deal with in allocating resources. We've got people in Wisconsin and throughout the country in areas where it didn't affect before, you have the same problems that you'd find in New York City or along the routes into Miami for drug possession, drug use.
Well, that's, you know, again, back to the, I always, you know, you get the analogy of Walworth County being like Mayberry, you know, and people are in denial about big city issues.
Right.
Being there, but it's pervasive, you know, not only in Walworth County statewide. You look at, we have tried, and our criminal justice partners have been launched a drug court, a similar kind of aims of the drunk driving court, which is to take folks who are in the system because of drugs, opioids, and trying to get them to change their life and to turn away from that. I don't, and I think I'm interested in hearing Kurt's response to this because he deals with it and sees it firsthand, but from the meetings that I go to, it's a very different group. Getting someone to change behaviors with alcohol seems to be a more predictable process and a more successful process and even a shorter process than getting someone off of heroin or prescription painkillers. So it's a big issue for the county, and again, you know, drives law enforcement and jail costs.
It does, and some of the spin-off crimes that occur from it, mm-hmm. Spending all of your own money, losing your job because that's not important to you anymore, borrowing money from friends and family, embezzling from friends and family, stealing from your family, and then as you exhaust a lot of those close to you, you know, burglaries or thefts, you know, that affect other residents in the county and beyond, just to feed an addiction. And Dave is right when he says that the drugs take a hold of their life. And you know, the saying is very true: you don't take heroin; it takes you. Mm. And to really stop that and turn that around takes a lot more effective treatment and controls. And again, I'll point out how close we are to the metro areas. And just like legitimate free commerce, it flows from metropolitan areas, so do illegal sources, such as drugs.
Quick roadmap for people who may be traveling through in their cars or don't spend all that much time in Walworth County. You've got Interstate 43 going through on the diagonal from Milwaukee to the northwest to Beloit and Rockford to the southwest. You've got US 14. Halfway in between Madison and Chicago, cutting right through Walworth County as you cross the line. And for many years, U.S. Interstate 94, now Interstate 41 and 94. For the section there, it's now from U.S. 41 into Interstate 41. For many years, when I was in high school, that was the place you went up to enjoy that 18-year-old beer or whatever. Not the 18-year-old beer, but being 18 years old and drinking it. I don't think 18-year-old beer would take particularly well. But we're in the middle of it all, of everything that could possibly happen in the issue of public safety. And national headlines, we've had them. Sheriff Picknell, you took office in January of 2015, and as undersheriff, one of the last things you oversaw before running for sheriff was the start of the hearings for Stephen Zelich in Walworth County. He was a police officer from West Allis who is alleged, after leaving the profession and then working in the security field, that he would meet women for consensual purposes that involved, you know, choking them. And allegedly two died in his presence, and he carried their remains around, allegedly, and come June of 2014, two suitcases with two bodies are found by Town of Geneva police. And how did that case transfer over to the custody of Walworth County, and where is Mr. Zelich spending his time now while awaiting trial in both Walworth County and Kenosha?
Well, I'll answer the back end of that question first. He's currently in the Walworth County Jail. And recently, Rochester Police Department in Minnesota has worked with their district attorney's office, and they have filed a criminal complaint in the death of one of the victims. And Kenosha County is also working with criminal charges for the other death. So as it relates to that defendant, he is in my jail on local charges of hiding a corpse with two counts in anticipation of more serious charges from these other two municipalities. So to speak to the cooperation and what I said before, you developed your relationships way before you ever need them. That's another one of these cases that the town of Geneva Police Department notified us immediately. We work cooperatively on it. We have additional resources and specialties that we were able to leverage into the investigation and also bring in the assistance of the State of Wisconsin Division of Criminal Investigation and the FBI and also the other law enforcement agencies, Rochester Police Department and Kenosha Police Department. For this. So you're seeing a product of great police work, and I think initially when it was started, there was speculation that I don't know if these could even be solved, or if they could be solved, it would take a long time. And it went relatively quick, and we were able to make the arrests and notify the families, and that's really where it's at. It's the it's an important piece of being able to let the families know that these victims were identified, and also for public safety, to let the criminal justice system work its way through in anticipation of convictions in the future.
In the 2 minutes we have left, first of all, what is the main ethos? What is the main goal you have as the jailer, the person who houses the men and women who end up in Walworth County?
Well, actually, it boils down to one of the statutory requirements of sheriff, and is to take care and custody of the jail. So it's the custody of the inmates and the care of the inmates both at the same time.
Sometimes I don't think people understand the breadth or complexity even of that operation, because you look at, again, you think of Otis walking in and getting the keys and locking himself in the cell.
Right.
Sometimes I think the impression is, well, there's, people that are there are it's minor charges. There's folks who are jailed who are awaiting murder charges, everything from that to not paying municipal fines. And I think that is a real challenge that I've come to appreciate is, you're dealing with a incredibly broad spectrum of people, from very dangerous and manipulative to other people who just maybe made some bad choices, but they've got to deal with all of them and keep them safe from each other and themselves. And that's a big job in and of itself.
Speaking of bad choices, gentlemen, there is a broadcaster and newspaper reporter who lives reportedly within Walworth County and is known to host a public affairs show called...
Now, knowing Kurt writes tickets, you sure you want to go ahead with this?
I'm going to go ahead. This is full disclosure, so I'm eliminating myself from future law enforcement employment probably. But I have been known to have a lead foot because I drive by feel, and unfortunately we have a lot of roads that feel like 65 when they're 45. I at least know that today I was going to be blameless of any of involving Walworth County, but who should I meet but our motorcycle cop a few weeks ago. It was a very pleasant experience, Kurt. It was a very deserved experience. It was going down that hill in Lake Geneva, and it changes from 40 from 55 down to 45 down to 25. But speed does kill, and what is the key to know to finally don't drive by feel? A speed limit is not a suggestion, correct?
It is, and it's really about limiting the distractions when you're driving. And in today's society, with smartphones and all of the options that you have inside of a vehicle, it really does divide your attention. And I think it's going back to the simple operation of the vehicle and always being aware of your position in the road and also your speed as it relates to other vehicles. And you'll appreciate this as well. A lot of times, if you've ever driven a motorcycle or just been in congestion, which I think yes would be the answer for everybody here.
Sure.
A lot of times you have to drive more than just your car. You have to anticipate all the other vehicles around you. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes you a good defensive driver.
will keep me accountable. A year from now, I hope to be interviewing both you, Sheriff, again, and we'll let him take care of enforcing me.
That's a big enough job.
It really is.
I'm happy to come back anytime.
Well, thank you both for a wonderful 45 minutes, and thank you, listeners. We appreciate your being with us on Community Matters. Have a great afternoon.
It's been a pleasure.